Good morning. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all assembled be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. That's not fair. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said it? I was thinking about this, and I know a lot of people understand my passion and intensity at basketball games. My wife accuses me of just saying something when everybody else is silent, but I'm just trying to remind the official of the correct rulings out on the court. And my whole premise behind that is the fact that I just want things to be fair. If they're going to call one teammate for traveling, they need to call everyone in both teams for traveling, right? Or if someone gets the privilege of plowing into someone on a layup, the other team gets that same privilege, right? That's all I want. I just want things to be fair. And I just get a little intense about it at times. But I mean, don't we all? Down inside, isn't that what we all want? We just want life. We just want things to be fair. I came across a video clip from a TV show. I have never seen the TV show before, and I don't even know really what it's about. But I thought it really portrays this whole idea, and I wanted to show that and just see if maybe you've ever been in this same situation before.
It's not going to happen ever in your life, so you might as well learn that now, okay?
Well, then I get something else, yummy.
You
then get something else.
What do you mean you get?
I get something
no,
else, yummy.
Nobody, Jane, nobody gets anything.
She got something. She got an angle pop.
Yeah, that's right now she's lucky, and you're not particularly lucky. Maybe later you'll be lucky. Maybe
but it's so not fair.
You only should be concerned with what somebody
it's
else
gets.
I'm telling you something right now. You should only ever be concerned with what's...
You are not fair.
Listen, the only time you look in your neighbor's bowl is to make sure that they have enough. You don't look in your neighbor's bowl to see if they have is to make sure you have as much as them. You want to just make sure that they are...
If you're looking at
yes, you can have the calcium chocolate. Make sure your sister gets one too.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, have you ever been in that situation before? And I mean, he even gets stumped. He doesn't even know what to say anymore about it. It's just not fair, right? I thought his point was good, though. What you want to do is make sure that someone else has what they need. And not so much about worrying about yourself, but you know, this whole idea of not being fair, I mean, it's absolutely nothing new. I mean, we've seen this whole idea of life not being fair and things not being fair, even throughout the Bible. I thought of a couple of instances very early in the Old Testament even. What made Cain kill Abel? And now whether the words actually came out or not, the action shows what happened. I mean, the reason Cain killed Abel is because it wasn't fair that God saw Abel in more favorable eyes because of the offering that he brought. If we think about Joseph and his brothers, why did Joseph's brothers want to kill him initially, and then why did they wind up selling him to the merchants that were headed down to Egypt? Because it wasn't fair that Joseph got what? The coat of many colors. It wasn't fair that their father favored Joseph over the rest of them. It's not fair. I mean, we see it everywhere. We hear it everywhere. We see it in our Old Testament reading for today in Malachi chapter 3. Just to kind of set the stage for the book of Malachi is the fact that the Israelite people, they've come back to their homeland from their captivity in Babylon during that time. They're back in their homeland, and now that they're there, they're once again turning from the Lord. And so Malachi comes in and wants them to return back to revering, fearing the Lord, following his commands. And so we get to Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 13. It says, "You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord." And so the "you" here are the Israelite people, God's own chosen people. He says, "You've said some harsh things against me. Yet you ask, what have we said against you?" Now this is kind of interesting here. Have you ever asked a question that you probably should have just left alone? The Israelites should have just left this one alone. They should have just taken the Lord's word for it that they've said some harsh things against him. But no, they have to ask, well, what have we said? So he lets them have it. In verse 14 and 15, he says, "You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." What are they saying here? It's not fair. Here we have tried to follow in your ways. We've followed your commands. We've done what's necessary. We've done the sacrifices. We've done all of what you have told us to do. But yet as we look around in the world, the people who are not following you are what? They're actually prospering above what we are. They didn't experience the Babylonian captivity. They haven't been carried off. They don't get the punishment and the oppression that we're having to endure because we know who you are and we follow you. It's not fair, so what's the use? Have we ever been there? I think sometimes we are. We look at our lives as a Christian. We look at what we try to do as a Christian. We try to go to church. We try to study the Bible. We are in Bible studies. We pray at home. We get on our knees. We have our intense talks with God Himself. And sometimes it feels like it doesn't really matter. Because when we look out at the world, the ones who are doing evil, the ones who are doing what they want, are what? They're prospering. They're better off than we are. So what is the use? It's not fair that we have to suffer, that we have to experience the hardship, that we have to go through a relationship issue, that we have financial troubles, that we have an illness or a sickness that just doesn't seem to come to an end. But yet we're trying to do everything that God tells us to do. It's not fair. He goes on in verse 16 and following, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. What is he saying here? He's saying that what our eyes perceive, what our senses experience, that is not what tells us whether or not we are a child of God, or whether he loves us, or whether we're in his family. We are a child of God. We are his chosen people because of our relationship with him. You know, as one of the children up here said, I want us to really think about this for a moment. I've heard a lot of people complain about stuff and say that it's not fair. But I've never one time heard someone say that this is not fair. We as people, as human beings, have sin in our lives. And when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God promised that if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. That was the consequence of that sin. And the consequence of that sin is that they will die. They'll die physically, they'll die spiritually. And there was a spiritual separation between God and man at that point. And now, we deserve to die. We deserve a spiritual death. We deserve punishment for every sin that we've ever committed. But God decided to send his son to take that punishment, to die on the cross, to give us forgiveness, to die on the cross, to bring us eternal life so we never have to experience the punishment that we deserve. And I've never heard anyone say, that's not fair. What do we say? Thank you, God. But it wasn't fair that he had to go through all of that for us. But he chose to because he loves us. Life, as two of them said, life is not fair. We learn that pretty early, don't we? Life is not fair. There are going to be things in life that are not fair. They don't seem fair, and they aren't fair. But I want you to stop and think. The next time those words want to come out of your mouth, stop and think. Was it fair that Jesus had to die for you? If you hear someone make that statement, you know what? That's a great opportunity to share what? To share the love of Jesus with them. Because if you ever hear someone make that statement, you can say, well, guess what? This is what's really not fair. That Jesus came into this world to die for you. I pray that we can remember these promises that God has for us, that we are forgiven, we're his children. Not because we're such great people, not because we have done so many good things, but simply because he chose to love us. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.